Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step, but what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire, to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Dr. Matthew Polk, Executive Director of Prosper Waco. KWBU President Joe Riley hosts this conversation, which was recorded February 5th, 2015, at the KWBU studio.
Welcome to the Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Joe Riley, and I'm talking today with Dr. Matthew Polk, who is the Executive Director for Prosper Waco. So welcome, Matthew.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Amarillo, so I'm a native Texan. Grew up there. I was born in Dallas. My extended family lives there, but grew up in Amarillo. Attended Baylor, met my wife there. So we both, you know, have a fondness for Waco, of course, having met at Baylor and fallen in love there. So moved away for a few years in the 2000s to do some graduate work after Baylor, but came back in 2008. We were glad to get back to Texas. We had our first child, wanted to be closer to family. My wife's a Texan as well. And so we both knew Waco, were comfortable with Waco, and felt like it would be a great place to move back and raise a family. And we've had two and soon three more children since we've been back in Waco. And certainly our kids call Waco home, and we feel like Waco's home. And so it's been a great about 7 years having been back.
And when you were gone, that was – you went to Harvard.
That's right. I, had a great – obviously, educational experience at Baylor, and then had the opportunity to complete a PhD in history at Harvard University. And of course, that's kind of once in a lifetime type opportunity. I mean, the resources and the people that you meet there, and just the kind of intellectual experience of doing work up there is really great, really formative, really inspiring, and enjoyed every minute of it, but also enjoyed the chance to get back to Texas and take a new route. I'm one of those folks who is kind of endlessly inquisitive and interested in new things, and so have taken a couple of different turns, I suppose, in my career path, but have enjoyed every minute of it and enjoy learning new things and being involved in new things and being involved in things that are important to the community.
Well, I was going to ask about that. I mean, your PhD's in history, which is it doesn't indicate to me that you were thinking at the time exactly what you were going to do. I mean, what were your plans when you were...
Right. So my initial plan, as you might expect, was to pursue a tenure track, you know, professor position at a university. And there's still lots of things that appeal to me about that lifestyle. And I have a lot of friends who are professors at Baylor and at other universities and enjoy what they do. And I love talking with them. And it's a great intellectual community to be a part of. But as I neared the end of my degree, I just... began to think more broadly about, you know, long term, what do I want my career and my life and kind of the things I put my energies into to be about. And there was no kind of one career necessarily or one type of job that struck me as a good fit for me. But instead, I really settled on the idea that I want whatever I do to be beneficial to the community, to have some type of positive social impact. And had a great opportunity when I was up in Boston to be involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters and have a great relationship with mentoring relationship with a young man, and you know that type of thing is just very, very inspiring, very fulfilling, and you know really makes you think about what do I want to be spending my time doing. And so you know, I can't pick one job that I think is a great fit for me. I think there are lots of things that I'm interested in, but I want whatever I do to have a positive impact on the community I'm living in. So that's kind of my driving thought process.
How'd you get involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters?
You know, it was one of those things where when you're doing graduate work, when you're doing that intensive PhD work, you're kind of in a hole. You know, you're in the library so much of the time. You're focused, laser focused on what you're doing in terms of writing the dissertation. And it was just really important for me to feel integrated into the community and to do something that I felt like was really beneficial outside of my little world of studying ancient medieval history. And so I reached out and sought that opportunity, and it seemed like a great fit for me. And I've had, you know, other experiences working with kids and mentoring type situations. And it was a lot of fun, really beneficial for me. It really balances out the intensity and kind of the closed off aspect of doing graduate work. It really gave me a great opportunity to be part of the community there in Cambridge and to develop a relationship with, you know, this young man and his family, and just be part of something bigger, I guess, was the idea at the time.
When you were young, who influenced you?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, like most folks, my parents, my father was a big influence. He's a physician up in Amarillo, and worked hard and, you know, spent a lot of time doing his job and covering call and being at the hospital. But at the same time, you know, always made time to be at our sporting events and go on our scouting, you know, camping trips. And, you know, I always know that was hard to go on a week-long canoe trip to Canada with us, and then to come back and, you know, have to cover midnight call at the hospital. So I just think the balance there of how hard he worked with also his dedication to being part of our lives was important to me. But there are a number of people growing up. And in high school, there was a gentleman from our church, Anson Cagle, who just took the time to get to know some of us in the youth and talk to us about life and share some ideas and wisdom and, you know, those kinds of things. And, you know, it's those folks who, even if your relationship with them is kind of brief, it sticks with you, the fact that they're willing to spend time to invest in you as an individual, to get to know you, to help you get to where you need to go. And so those are the folks to me that kind of stick out in my mind.
How important is that really to everyone, but how important is that to have somebody who encourages, somebody who at least steps up and gives some kind of input into your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you look at successful people all around you, and they have that support network. And you look at the differences in outcomes between, you know, kids and students, for example, in schools who have a strong support network at home, and how they perform in school and their success rate in completing college and all those things, versus students who don't have that support network, and or maybe who have parents who just, you know, they're working so hard trying to make ends meet that they just aren't able to invest the time that they would like to in helping their kids grow up. And the differences in those outcomes is huge. And so having somebody there who can walk you through the process, through the life process, or whether it's the more specific process of, you know, getting to college and finishing college or getting a job, whatever it is very important. And that's already been very clear in the work that we've been doing with Prosper Waco in terms of some of the needs that our community has. And there's lots of people out there doing good work to try to emphasize the need for people, especially young people in our community, to have a mentor, to have somebody there who will invest in them and who will, you know, help them get over those bumps that life inevitably throws at you.
Mm-hmm. Before you came on with Prosper Waco, which you just mm-hmm. have done this year,
that's
2015,
right. mm-hmm.
You were superintendent for Rappaport Academy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. How did you get connected with Rappaport?
Well, my wife and I have had a relationship with Nancy Grayson, who founded Rappaport Academy in the school, for many years. My wife was an education major at Baylor, and her first teaching job was at Rappaport Academy in the 2001-2002 school year. So it was our last year here in Waco before we moved, and she taught fourth grade there. That was the oldest grade, the oldest kids in the school at that point were fourth graders. So, you know, it was a very small school, but she had a great experience, loved the kids, loved the teaching environment. And then we moved up to Boston, and she found a job at a charter school up there. So we had this kind of experience with charter schools and the idea of charter schools and what they were trying to do, and so many of them trying to approach education from different perspectives, you know, unique, innovative perspectives. And so we maintained that relationship, and as we were looking to move back to Texas, had an opportunity to renew a conversation with Dr. Grayson and join the team, the administrative team at the school. And it was definitely a steep learning curve in terms of, you know, operating a public school. There's a lot that goes into that. But again, you know, I go back to it was fascinating to me. I love the variety, all the things you had to think about that go into running a school and doing education really well. And of course, working with the students, majority low-income students, many students who didn't have a history of going to college in their family, and helping prepare those students for college, give them a great education, and seeing the success there is just fabulous. I mean, it's really fulfilling from a personal and professional standpoint, and it's really great to be part of an organization that is having a really positive impact on the community and the people we're serving.
For those who are just joining us, this is the Central Texas Leadership Series, and I'm Joe Riley, and I'm talking with Dr. Matthew Polk, who's the Executive Director for Prosper Waco. What did you learn from your experience at Rappaport that is beneficial to you now with Prosper Waco?
Sure. Well, with Prosper Waco, pursuing what's called a collective impact initiative, I think that just rings so true to me. The idea that to create any systemic, wide-scale, positive change in our community, it takes a collective effort of all different types of organizations and all different types of individuals coming at these issues from a wide range of perspectives. And you see that as an educator when you're in a school. You see that all these issues of poverty, of health outcomes, of education outcomes, they are all tightly interwoven. And you see students come to school not having eaten that morning or feeling sick, but their parents drop them off anyway because they need to get to work. You know, they can't risk losing their job. Or students who are missing a lot of school because of health issues, or students who can't get to school because the one car the family owns broke down and they can't pay to fix it. I mean, there are so many examples of how all of these issues work together to affect the success that especially young people have or don't have in many cases. And that big picture perspective is what's really interesting and compelling to me. And if Prosper Waco can be part of helping drive that conversation and facilitate that collaborative, broad scale community work to help address some of these issues, I think, you know, that will be a fabulous thing to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. You made a leap in the middle of a school year to Prosper Waco. What was it that brought you over?
Yeah, that was very difficult because as an educator, someone working in a school, you develop those relationships with students and families, and you know you want to do what's in their best interest. At the same time, I go back to the opportunity to be part of something, and I said this to our staff at the school. I said, I feel like I'm doing the same work with Prosper Waco that we're doing at Rappaport Academy. It's just on a slightly larger scale. And the opportunity to continue to do that kind of work, to contribute to the community positively in that way, and to be part of something that has a real potential to have a major positive impact on our community, was really exciting. It fits my overall interest in terms of what I want my work to be about. The timing, it wasn't exactly what I would have chosen. It wasn't perfect, but you can't always ask folks to open up their jobs in July because because that's when the school year is over. You know, unfortunately, life doesn't always work that way. So a lot of thought went into it, and the Prosper Waco board was really generous in allowing me to transition out and have some time and make that transition at the Christmas break. We have a great team at the school to continue to move that work forward. My kids still attend Rappaport Academy, so I have every bit of confidence in what they're doing there and their ability to move forward positively.
Hmm. What is Prosper Waco?
So Prosper Waco is we're a 501c3 nonprofit. We are the backbone organization for a collective impact initiative. And what collective impact is, and I touched on it a little bit before, it's the idea that to really address the challenges and opportunities a community faces, no one organization, no one entity, even if it's, you know, the city government, can make the change and have the impact to really address some of these big picture issues like poverty, like gaps in our healthcare system, for example, in terms of things like employment opportunities and so forth. So collective impact is about pulling together stakeholders from a wide range of organizations, a wide range of perspectives, setting a common agenda for what we want to achieve in our community, setting some very specific goals of what we want to do in our community, making sure those goals are things we can measure so that we can really figure out whether we've met the goal or not, and then working together, having continuous communication, talking, bringing people to the table to really think about how is what we are doing as an individual organization or as an individual volunteer or as a business, what are we doing to advance our common agenda to drive towards those goals. And so you can do collective impact around all kinds of issues. And there are examples across the country in many communities of collective impact going on a number of issues. And we're focusing on these big picture issues of education, health, and financial security. But what we need to do and what we will do moving forward is set some specific goals about what do we want to see happen in terms of education, in terms of health in our community, in terms of financial security, employment, and so forth. Let's set some, put some numbers to them, make some the goals specific, and then let's work together to get there.
So it's more than just a clearinghouse.
That's right. You know, part of our job is certainly will be a clearinghouse of information to make sure that we are facilitating information throughout the community and that people know that the services and the things that are going on and are being provided in the community, they know about them and can access them. But the core of our goal is to help organizations work together to achieve a set of very ambitious but very specific goals. And I'd love to be able to tell you what those goals are, but part of the process is bringing the community together to set those goals. And so we have three steering committees, one in each of those areas, led by outstanding professionals in those fields who will facilitate that conversation and who will set the specific goals. So those are things like things that might come out of that are things like increasing health insurance coverage in our community. About 25% of the folks in the Waco community are not covered by health insurance. And maybe things like increasing post-secondary success, which is related to the Project Link grant that the Rapid Port Foundation recently gave. But if we can decide on some very specific goals and set some very specific targets or measurements of what we want to achieve, then we can pull people together, get people at the table, and think about how do we systematically and strategically go about achieving those goals through the means of the various organizations that are out there doing really good work.
How many nonprofits are there in Waco?
You know, I'm working on getting that list myself. I've heard 700 as a kind of thumbnail. Now, that may include things like, you know, churches and so forth that maybe aren't providing what you think of as direct nonprofit services, but are nonprofit entities. But there are hundreds. There are certainly dozens of large nonprofits doing very important, very good work providing direct services to people in our community along a variety of on a variety of issues. So there are a lot of people out there doing good work, and it's not collective impact is not about saying the work that's being done is not good. It's about saying how can we leverage what's being done? How can we all come to the table, identify gaps where maybe we don't know they exist because we haven't sat down and looked at the big picture. How can we find ways to work together that maybe we didn't know about because, you know, we're so focused and so busy operating our own organizations. So our job is to help facilitate that and to help find maybe solutions to some of these things that no one organization could do on its own because, you know, they're focused on doing their thing. So we're not asking organizations to change what they're doing necessarily. What we'd like to do is bring them to the table and see if we can find unique, interesting solutions to some of these problems that maybe we couldn't have found if we didn't have somebody trying to organize that effort.
Where did Prosper Waco come from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So, I keep telling people we didn't parachute out of the sky. Prosper Waco is an extension of the work that's being done and has been done for the last several years around the city. And that was really the idea by our board, including the mayor of city leaders, to pull together this work that's been done in the city and kind of tie it all together and see if we can make some real impact. So you have, you know, Mayor May Jackson's community visioning project, you know, a decade old at this point, was the beginning. You have the Greater Waco Education Alliance with Virginia Dupuy really driving that conversation around education in the community. You have the mayor's Poverty Solutions Initiative and the Poverty Solutions Steering Committee, which submitted a report to the city council in 2012. You have work done on employment research in 2014 by the Upjohn Institute as commissioned by the city. So you have all these different ways that people across the community have been talking and thinking and researching and trying to attack these issues along the lines of healthcare and education and employment. And the idea is, can we pull all that together, set some really ambitious goals, understanding that these things are interrelated, and then build the will, build the public will, and really align what we're doing to achieve those goals to have a real significant impact on the community.
For those just joining us, this is the Central Texas Leadership Series, and I'm Joe Riley talking with Dr. Matthew Polk, who's the executive director for Prosper Waco. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned those three areas, and I'm going to back up to those three areas again. So those three areas are education, and coming out of the Education Alliance, that was always a big one. And then I remember the discussions about how education, the issues that the Education Alliance talked about, couldn't be tackled without also looking at poverty issues. Issues having to do with employment, issues having to do with financial issues within, here in Waco, and also healthcare, that all of these lean on each other. Mm-hmm. An issue in one area compounds issues in other areas, and a fix in one area can't be done without looking at the other areas. Yeah. So how do you look at three big areas like that and pull them together in?
Right. Well, that's why we have these outstanding chairs of our steering committees in these three areas. Dr. George Kazanis, who's superintendent at Midway ISD and for education, obviously, and Jim Morrison, who's the chief medical officer at Hillcrest for healthcare, and Matt Metters, who's the president and CEO of the Chamber for financial security. And so it's really about getting people who are doing work in these areas and can bring all different kinds of perspectives to the table to discuss. What are the major issues? What are the highest impact issues that if we can solve these things or make a difference in these areas, that we'll see an improvement in the quality of life in our community? And the great thing is we were sitting down with those three gentlemen as the steering committee chairs recently to talk about where we're going and the event we're having on February 18th to kind of kick this off and really drive this conversation. And they said, I feel like we can't – exactly what you said. They said, I feel like we can't set – goals in our area alone. We need to kind of come up with goals for our area, and then we need to come back to the table with the three of us and see where those goals overlap, and then really refine the goals for Prosper Waco as a whole to take into account the overlapping nature of these things. So I think they're thinking about it the right way, and that's exciting because I think as a community we're starting to have a really fruitful conversation about the fact that we've done all this work in these different areas. Now we need to pull that conversation together, set some goals that recognize that these things overlap, and then approach those from a varied standpoint, from lots of different perspectives, to make sure that we're moving towards the outcomes that we want.
February 18th, there's an event, and which you've mentioned. What exactly is going to happen at that event?
Right. So that is an opportunity for the community as a whole to be part of this discussion. It is free. It is open to anyone. You don't have to have a background in these three areas. You don't have to be a professional educator or a doctor or anything like that. If you have a perspective about what our community needs to do to improve our community, especially through the lens of these three areas, it may be that your neighborhood, there are needs with regard to getting access to healthcare. That's the kind of conversation we want to have. What needs to be done in this community to improve the quality of life for all of us? And so the biggest part of that event will be open discussions in each of these three areas about prioritizing the specific goals that we need to attack as a community. And then it's the job of the steering committees under the leadership of those chairs to take that conversation, to take the meat of that conversation after the 18th, to meet with their smaller committee where they can really make some final decisions to refine those goals and to really cast the vision for our community as a whole and for our collective impact initiative to say this is it. These are the things we're going to go after. We're going to target these handful of things, and if we can do them and if we can work together to achieve them, we will have a major positive impact on the community.
Yeah, and we talk about the 18th. This program, this conversation, mm-hmm. will likely repeat after the 18th, but the work won't be done after the 18th.
That's right.
You're still going to be looking for input. How are you going to? Right. How do you communicate all of this with the community on an ongoing basis?
Right. No, that's a great question, and that's our job. I mean, that's the job of a backbone organization of Prosper Waco as an organization within this collective impact initiative is to continually communicate. So one of the things we'll do is have an ongoing kind of updating of a community scorecard to say here are the things we're trying to do, and here's how we're getting there or not. You know, hopefully, on the positive side, here's how we're moving the needle in the right direction. We'll be able to communicate that in lots of ways, obviously through our website, but through ongoing communication, through email and these types of conversations with you and meetings in the public and so forth. But there will be opportunities for folks to continue to be involved, to be on those steering committees, to express their perspective about what needs to be done. We'll be going back to the community in a variety of community engagement formats to say, here's what we're trying to do in your neighborhood to reach this goal. Say it's, extending health insurance coverage. Here's what we're trying to do. Please help us understand, is that what your community, your neighborhood, your family needs? Will that be effective for you? And so there will be opportunities at a variety of levels for people to continue to be involved, to give feedback, and to tell us, is what's being done out there in the community effective in reaching these very ambitious, broad goals we have?
Which you don't have yet. But I want to ask you anyway, even though you don't have those goals, in a broad sense, do you have thoughts on what those goals will look like?
Yeah, because of the work that's been done over the last several years, there are a number of broad stroke goals that I think will be the starting place for this discussion for the steering committees to really refine. So those are things like preparing all young kids for kindergarten readiness. So emphasis on early childhood services and making sure all students come to school prepared to learn and succeed. Things like post-secondary success, increasing the percentage of our high school graduates who go on to complete 2 or 4 year degrees and have the opportunity to earn a really good job. Things like increasing health insurance coverage, or at least increasing the access to healthcare in our community. Things like issues related to food access or food insecurity and food deserts, eliminating food deserts, which is also related to obesity. And then on the financial security side, things like finding ways to improve job skills for folks who need a better job, finding ways to get especially younger workers, the 16 to 24 range. The unemployment rate is extremely high in our community, so finding opportunities for younger workers to find and hold jobs and kind of get on that career path so that they can move up the ladder, so to speak, over time. So those are the kinds of things that have come out of the work that's already been done. It's a matter of refining that, prioritizing what we want to start attacking first, and then setting some very specific measurements to it so that we can say we're gonna aim for X percentage of increased post-secondary success, or X percentage of increased health insurance coverage, so that we know whether we got there, because that's key to a collective impact initiative. We got to have the goals, but we got to be specific about it so we know whether or not we got there or not. And if we don't get there, then we got to try something else.
That's great. We've been talking with Dr. Matthew Polk, who's the executive director for Prosper Waco, which is that new initiative that we've been hearing about, and it has just taken time, and we're getting it going for all these the good things that we see and we want to see happening here in our community. And so it has been great to talk to you, and I thank you for coming out and sharing with us.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm excited to come back soon and be able to tell you the good things that have come out of this process.
We look forward to having you.
Thanks.
This program was recorded February 5th, 2015 at the KWBU studio.